You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who doesn't believe in sex after marriage, Pete Schwabba.
That's like the third time you've played that one in the last two nights. Are you trying to tell me something? Like, you really think I don't believe in sex after marriage? Or maybe you don't want me to ever have sex again, Conrad. I don't know what it is.
You need to be celibate.
That would help me channel my energies. Hey, welcome to Nightlight, everybody. Great to have you here. It is a Tuesday night back on the home court here at WGBW and broadcasting live statewide from our gorgeous studios here in at City Deck Landing. So hope you had a great day. Whatever you did today, it's great to have you. Let's leave the stress of the day behind and talk about some of the things in life that make us happy, like movies and TV and comedy and the mafia. We're talking mob tonight. So we've got two great guests. A good question. I know we're going to get great texts like we always do, or phone calls. And together we'll pull this off tonight and make it a great show. Bob Dennis is here at 7:20 tonight. Bob is a mob expert, and he even podcasts about it. That takes guts. I've always been afraid to talk too much about the mob because I don't want to be silenced, even though I've not or have ever been in the mob. You ever been in the mob, Conrad? You ever done any work? Gotten sandwiches or coffee, mixed drinks for them?
I shouldn't say.
Smart. Because it's the people who claim to be in the mob that are not in the mob.
My life is pretty much a Bronx Tale. I'll say that.
Wow, nice pull. Great movie. I could see that. I could see a young Conrad Krieger. Was your dad a bus driver? No. Great movie, though. We can ask our guest, Bob Dennis, if he's ever seen that, because that is a great movie. So I'm going to write that down right now. Bob will be here at 7:20 in studio, and we'll talk about some great mob bosses. And when I say great, it's not like I'm condoning the fact that they're mob bosses. I just mean they are successful at their craft and what they did. So we're going to do a deep dive into some New York and Chicago mob bosses. That is where I would say the mob had most of its action in those two cities over the years. And Bob will tell us what we need to know and how to avoid being recruited by the mob. Most of you listening probably have not gone a day in your life where someone wasn't trying to bring you into the mafia. We are going to tell you how to sidestep that and avoid awkwardness. Also, at 6:35, I'm working my way backwards here tonight, Mike Mercury will be here. He's a Madison-based stand-up comedian. This is our second night in a row we've had a Madison-based stand-up comic on the show. That, folks, is what they call radio history. We had Johnny Beaner on last night from Madison. He came into the studio. And tonight, Mike Mercury joins us over the stream at 6:35. Mike has a couple new articles I want to talk about. And he says he's got stuff he needs to get off his chest. So I'm just going to give Mike the floor. He's very funny, great writer, great stand-up comic, and a very good Wisconsin dude. He'll be here at 6:35. So lots going on in the world of entertainment, in the world of entertainment, sports, movies. Two biggies dropped this week. Sandlot in 1993, Major League in 1989, and we have some big news from a friend of ours coming up. He'll be here Friday. His name is Sean Hannish, and he directed Just a Bit Outside. I saw him at the Wisconsin Film Festival with his filmmaking partner, Kelly Call, and we were just kind of talking, and he said he's got news. I said, why don't you come on the show Friday? He said, you got it. So Sean will be here Friday with news about his film, Just a Bit Outside. So that's three heavy hitter baseball movies that are relevant this week. Sandlot, Major League, and Just a Bit Outside. So you know what that leads us to, Conrad?
Our question of the night.
Lay it on.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
What is your favorite baseball movie? Favorite baseball movie, folks. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. What is your favorite baseball movie? Baseball season is right around, well, we're in it, actually. Opening day has already happened at all the major, in all the major cities at the big ballparks. God, I spaced out there for a minute. We're already in baseball season.
Yes, we are.
Seems like we should still be building up to it because it's so damn cold out. Did you play baseball as a kid, like on a team?
Yes, I played from till like Pony League.
What is that, like 14? Maybe,
I forget what age it is. I think it's like in middle school.
Okay. Kind
of. But I played 1 year of high school baseball, and I sucked, so I didn't play. I didn't play the whole season out.
I played freshman year, and I was a pretty decent hitter. And then sophomore year, I quit because I had a bad attitude. Like, the coach took other sophomores onto the varsity team, and I said, hey, you know, I had a pretty high average. Well, why wasn't I considered? And he says, you were considered, which hurt even more. So I was like, you know what? I quit. Actually, I had just gotten a job too. I wanted money. I think I was looking for a reason to quit. And here's why. Baseball in Wisconsin in the spring sucks. Practicing every day with aluminum bats when it is 30 degrees outside, it was worse than football practice. Yeah, it was horrible.
That sting does not feel good.
It does not. And then you're throwing a hard ball and catching it in the cold. It's just awful. So here's what I say. Here's the conclusion I've come to. Had I grown up in Arizona, Texas, Florida, California, I probably would have made the big leagues.
Okay.
Because I was a pretty damn good player.
Okay. You know, I was known for dropping the ball, so.
Well, at least you have a signature move.
When they actually put me in the outfield, in right field, when I was in sophomore year, I missed the ball, but I threw the guy out at second.
So you made an error, but you corrected it with a brilliant play.
And I got to hit that game.
Oh, sweet.
And then the next game, I quit.
Well, you went out on a high note? Is that, I guess that your plan? Yeah, I don't even put it on the coach. I think I wanted a reason to quit, but whatever. I stuck with basketball because that was the indoor sport, and that's what I liked. I didn't
mind
the activity and the running and all that was fun. But folks, tonight we're talking baseball. What is your favorite baseball movie? You can text us too on the Civic Media app. Very easy to use. We love getting texts off the app. You can go old school phone or on the stream. So either way you get a hold of us, just get a hold of us because it's more fun when you guys participate. So I don't know what I'm going to say. I'm kind of on the fence here between I probably would have to say The Sandlot. I liked Major League a lot. It's a really good comedy. I don't know that it's a great movie as much as I enjoyed it. The Sandlot, some critics might say that's not a great movie. I think it's a great movie. I love The Sandlot. You got Field of Dreams, Trouble with the Curve. Oh, I forgot about that one. What is that? Trouble with the Curve. Who's in that movie? Oh, that's Clint Eastwood.
Oh, yes.
Is that good? Is that a good movie?
That's a great movie.
Is it really?
Yes. It's about a guy who was like doing, what are they called? The guys who sell peanuts?
Yeah.
They took him out. Yeah, they took him out of the stands and...
Oh, yeah. Okay. Justin Timberlake's in it, John Goodman. Okay. But, you know, let us know, because there's so many good movies. Moneyball, you got, there's just too many good movies. The Natural, what do you think?
I got two, actually. One that's like, it could be considered a baseball movie.
Okay.
It's called Basketball.
Oh, from the South Park guys?
I love that movie so much.
Our friend of the show, Mike Schmidt, who hasn't been on in a long time, he was an extra in that right when he moved to LA, and he was like, he had a really good time. I've never seen the movie. It looks so preposterous. I just didn't watch it.
And their team is the Milwaukee Beers. It's about two guys who made up a game, and it involves into like a national game. Yeah, it's so funny. But I'd say my actual answer is Benchwarmers.
Oh, I forgot about that one. I wouldn't say that was my favorite, but that's baseball. 42. 42 was good. Love that one.
Wow, I forgot. That's such a great movie.
Yeah. Did you see Moneyball?
Yes.
Yep. I loved Moneyball, too. I never saw 61. Rookie of the Year. Some of these, you know, just have sentimental value.
Yeah.
Like you got Bull Durham. Bull Durham was a great movie.
I've actually never seen that.
Yeah, you might like it. It's pretty good. And then you've got Field of Dreams, obviously. I never got into the Field of Dreams like everybody else did. Not saying it's not a good movie. I think I heard too much about it before I went to see it. It was kind of, for me anyway, a little overly sentimental. But I understand why people like it so much.
Do you remember when we did that baseball quiz with Nikki?
Yeah.
And remember I had that secret last one that I'd had? And it was Richie Rich.
A baseball movie?
Because there's that one scene in there where they play baseball, and I rewatched it.
Oh, dude, that's not...
And it doesn't hold up at all. I rewatched it, like, how did I like this movie? This movie is so... It drags, it's boring. I don't know.
That's funny. Here's another one. It's kind of a... I thought about this earlier. It's listed on Google as a baseball movie called Stealing Home. One of my favorite actors, William Peterson. Jodie Foster. Wait, is this the movie I'm thinking of? Maybe not. Bad News Bears, I love. Yeah. And I think the original. Have you seen the original?
Yes, and then the 12 spinoffs.
Yeah. It's tough to keep them all straight. But I loved the original, Walter Matthau. I love when he asked the kid his name. And the kid says, you know, like Tanner or whatever. He's like, okay, Tanner, sit down and shut up. great stuff. There are so many good baseball movies. This is a perfect question for tonight. So let us know, folks. As I mentioned, we're talking mob stuff at 7:20 and some comedy with our friend Mike Mercury at 7:35. Here's what I did. I was in Madison for like the last 6 days, 5 days. What do you do? Here's how it was configured. Like everything was like paid for, but I had to tip the valets and I took my car out a lot. So I probably got set back about $40 in tips over the 5 days, whatever. Okay, fine. There's always two guys. One of them goes to get the car. I put the money in the tip jar and the other guy says, thank you. And then I go out and the guy gives me my car. I always feel like I have to explain to him, I tipped in there. Like I don't want to be, it's like a George Costanza thing. So I always made sure, like I did a very exaggerated reach for my money and put it in the tip jar so both of them see it.
You dunked the money.
I did. I did a 360 actually, just for actual emphasis. So, and then I tipped at Potbelly today, and I had to clean off my own table.
Potbelly is so good.
It's great, and it's so good. I even ate among other people's crumbs because the tables weren't wiped off after I tipped the counter help. All right, folks. What is your favorite baseball movie? Join the fun. Be part of Nightlight. We're lighting it up. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Just want to close your eyes, follow your dream down. We made a promise, we swore we'd always
remember. You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
I think Bob was doing a Pete and using voice text because he texted me. He said, hi, Dad, I'm home at the front door. It's like, sounds like part of two texts. I do that all the time. Hey, welcome back to Nightlight. This is Pete Schwab. Great to have you with me on this. It's not Wednesday. Man, it's been a long week. Tuesday. I actually got the times wrong. I'm glad Bob showed up when he did. So that's exciting. Our question of the night, ladies and gentlemen, please be part of the show, is Conrad, if you would.
What is your favorite baseball movie?
Lay it on us. We'll read your text on the radio. You don't get an offer like that very often, do you, folks? Going to the social media, we put this out on social media, too. So if you follow the show, you'll get these things ahead of time, which is great because then we're all set to read them on the air. So please become a Nightlight follower. Give us a like if you're at it, if you're on YouTube or Facebook or X Twitter. Whatever, we love to get likes and we love to get follows. Mike Desitel says, Field of Dreams, hands down. Yeah, I didn't mean to like downplay Field of Dreams. Great movie. For me, it's a little too sentimental, but I did like it. Great movie and a phenomenal idea for a movie. Todd Michaels says, Major League for Uke and the County Stadium alone. Hard to argue with that. Matt Harper, The Natural with Robert Redford. Hard to argue against The Natural, too. Although, again, that's a very... Have you seen that?
I have not, actually.
I'd be curious to know what a young fella named Conrad thinks of The Natural. Because it's a great movie, and Robert Redford's great. You know, they've got some really good... there's some great elements to it. And I did like it overall. It's very... I think it's a long movie, if I remember correctly. Amanda Nimmer says, oh, part of the GBW team, baby. She says, Angels in the Outfield. Was that one of the... Was that filmed at Wrigley Field?
I
know Rookie of the Year was. Great choice, Amanda. Thank you. Eric Rathsack, lead singer of Ask Your Mother, says, hard to decide a favorite. Major League, A League of Their Own, another great movie. Field of Dreams, For Love of the Game, and The Sandlot all have a spot for me. Yeah, for me, it's an easy one. I would have to say Sandlot. And that's sentimental, too. I buy it. I love it. I love the kid angle, kids, baseball. I think it's fantastic. Thank you for the text, Eric. Let's go to the text line, shall we? We got Christine and Slinger says A League of Their Own. Another great movie. Yes, we just heard another A League of Their Own text. That's great. Two in a row. Steve from Florida says, my all-time favorite baseball movie is The Natural, starring Robert Redford. Although Major League is a close second due to the brilliance of Bob Uecker. Yeah, if you were going to rate a movie just based on one performance, it would probably be, you know what? Major League and The Sandlot would still be my two favorite because you got Uecker and then you got Benny the Jet, who's like one of the coolest characters ever. Great choice, Steve. Ed from Madison says, Conrad should watch Bull Durham tonight. And there's an exclamation point.
Oh, I got to get to it then.
I think it's, Ed seems pretty serious. He's texting with conviction. He also says A League of Their Own is his favorite. A League of Their Own is in the driver's seat tonight, folks. Jim from Appleton says, don't forget Angels in the Outfield. How could we forget that, Jim? Ed from Madison says, Bull Durham. Ed from Madison. Very active on the text line. Great to have you part of the show, Ed. Anna in Madison says, hi, Pete and Conrad. My favorite baseball movie is Bull Durham with Kevin Costner. Yeah, Bull Durham is like, I bet a lot of people pound for pound would say Bull Durham is the best baseball movie. It's a drama. There's some funny stuff. Tim Robbins is great. Can't go wrong with that one, though. Thank you, Anna. David from Richland Center says, For Love of the Game. That's one I haven't seen. And that's the second person that's mentioned that film. I got to put that on my list. I think that's also Kevin Costner, if I'm not mistaken. Great text. Keep them coming, folks. What is your favorite baseball movie? Baseball season is here. And two big movies were dropped this week. The Sandlot in 1993 and just a bit outside, Major League, which I believe was 89. Was Major League in 89? Yes, 1989. My God. And then we have big news from Sean Hannish, who will be here Friday night at 6:35 to tell us about Just a Bit Outside, the documentary, the wildly popular and successful documentary. There is new streaming information on that, so we'll talk to Sean about that on Friday. Big baseball week here at Nightlight. Is today National Zoo Lovers Day?
Yes, it is.
That's a real thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you got a favorite animal in the zoo?
You know what? I do, but it's kind of like... Here's what I equate it to. Taking a shot and asking the really pretty girl out, and she says yes, and then you don't have a good time. That's what going to see the lions is like in the zoo. Lions, yes! Or polar bears. And then they just sit there. Right? I mean, I like the monkeys when they're active. They're always throwing their feces around, having a gay old time in there. However, I love the polar bears and the lions, but they never do anything.
Yeah, there's definitely a moment where it's like, it was fun when you're a kid.
Yeah.
And then there's one age where it just turns, you're like, this is kind of boring.
Yeah, because it's unpredictable. Mm-hmm. And I think, I spent a lot of time when I was younger at the Lincoln Park Zoo in Chicago, and they have the porpoises swimming around, or sea lions, I'm sorry. And they put on a big show, and that can be fun. So there's good stuff there. Usually you see something that's kind of cool. And I went to the Milwaukee County Zoo a lot when I was a kid because my grandparents lived in Milwaukee. So I spent a lot of time there. That was a great zoo. Have you been to that zoo?
Multiple
times. Milwaukee is an excellent
zoo. I actually spent my senior skip day there.
Really? Yes. Playing hooky at the zoo. I admire that. That shows good, wholesome, clean fun because a lot of kids were probably out doing drugs. And Conrad's at the zoo. The petting zoo, maybe even. Yeah, they're great. I love zoos. I really do. And I love the Milwaukee Zoo. And I love the Lincoln Park Zoo because it's free. You can walk through it on your way home and you never know what you see. So that was fun too. But National Zoo Day. Okay, I can get on board with that. You think zoos are in danger like libraries because a lot of them are like publicly funded?
I don't know.
I hope not.
I hope not.
We should organize a nightlight field trip to the zoo. Who's on board? Feel free to text us.
Live from the zoo. Yeah, now that's
we'll
show.
Broadcast from.
We'll bring out penguins.
Listen, I will dare the lions to attack me because that's how lazy they are. I'm going to sit right in the middle of the lion cage and do the show. And if that's how I exit this world, it'll be great radio. I'll go out on a ratings high note. The hell am I talking about? You can tell I haven't slept in 5 days. All right, Bob Dennis is here, folks. We're going to talk mafia stuff. Cool, cool mafia stuff. He's got some great facts. He's in the studio, here in person. It's all happening here tonight on Nightlight, and we got some laughs coming up later with Mike Mercury. It's Pete Schwab and Nightlight. Great to have you here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Bob Dennis is here in the studio. Welcome back to Nightlight. I'm Pete Schwab. I love when I have in-studio guests, and I love when they text while they're waiting to come on the air. And Bob says, Bingo Long Traveling All-Stars. I haven't heard of that.
Oh, it's an old movie. It's about an African-American team that tours the country and the things that they face, not only as ball players, but also, of course, in America at the time. And it's like the 1920s, maybe.
Yeah.
Okay. And the gentleman that played Lando Calrissian in Star Wars.
Billy Dee Williams.
Yeah, he is like the lead in the show.
I love Billy Dee Williams. Yeah. Christine, did we read Christine from Slinger's text, Conrad?
Yeah, so
yeah,
now it's...
A League of Their Own. Yeah, okay, Al from Jackson says, basketball! Just kidding, that movie is terrible. Oh, those are fighting words for Conrad. He just went to bat for it. Get it? See what I did there?
I see.
Jack from Merrimack says, favorite baseball movie, Bull Durham. Hard to beat Costner, Sarandon, and Robbins. Good point, Jack. Yeah, that movie works. Tony the Trucker. Pete, ask Mike if he ever worked at Kelly's in Middleton, Wisconsin. Conrad, can you take a memo?
I will.
I will certainly ask Mike that, Tony. Tony says, if so, has he ever thought about using the experience in his show? I think there's a story there that Tony is not being forthcoming. Maybe he knows something. We'll ask Mike. Absolutely, Tony. Thank you for the text. Bob Dennis is here, mob expert. you're more of an expert than most of us. I think that's comfortable to say.
You know, many years ago, I was told that an expert was the person who knew how much dynamite to place up the backside of a bull to blow off the horns without irritating the bull.
Ooh, wow.
Just saying, it's not me.
Okay, well, there are different fields of expertise. You certainly, I think you know more about bulls, obviously, than the rest of us. But also, the mob, I mean, this is like, I love this stuff. I've read mob books, but I don't know as much as you. So you're an expert to me. I'll just say that. And it's good to have you here.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Do you have
do I get a purple coat? Because this is my fifth time here.
Purple coat?
Yeah, for like Saturday Night Live, the Five Timers Club.
What kind of money you think we're working with here, Bob?
Well, it's radio.
Look at the shirt I'm wearing. Do you think we have money for a purple coat?
I think, but you were in Madison. I mean, rich people go to Madison.
I got it off the rack. This is from Ragstock. It's a nice, do you like this shirt?
Yeah, it's nice.
Let's see. Let's get him a purple coat. He just complimented
me. Sounds good.
We'll find a way to make it happen. So you said your favorite baseball. Oh, I wanted to ask you, our question last night was beer. Mm-hmm. And sometimes these questions stay with me because I'm curious. By the way, and I want to share this with you, Bob. Nightlight beer, called Hazed on Radio is available right now at Flicks Brewhouse for the Wisconsin Film Festival. And I was told today by the brewmaster, Dave Hansen, I tried some last night. I went out there and I'm not a beer drinker necessarily, but it was good. It has like a passion fruit flavor to it. And I was told today, he said, it's the highest selling local beer they make. 2-1.
Really?
Yeah. And wow. Now I've talked about it incessantly on this show. I wish. It'd be loaded.
Just saying.
If I had that kind of money, I wouldn't be here right now. It would be the Bob and Conrad show.
Well,
you guys, we could do that.
You guys might have chemistry. You never know. Maybe I'm the weak link here. I don't know.
No.
All right. So let's talk. Let's get into it, man. I love mob talk. I've never been in the mob. Have you been in the mob? Bob, I'm really slap happy today.
It's been a long few days. I can kind of tell that. You've been working really hard.
I mean,
you've been on the go. And,
well,
you know.
You're very kind. Where do we start? How do we jump in?
You can start almost anywhere. That's the old saying. That, you know, if there's a mountain in front of you, anywhere you start's the right
place. Just start climbing, right? Let's start with Lucky Luciano.
Okay, absolutely.
Because you call him the most important mobster of all. And again, folks, we're not saying these are great guys. I know a lot of them are scumbags, but I am fascinated by the hierarchy, the infrastructure that the mob built, what they got away with, all this stuff. It really, truly fascinates me. And Lucky Luciano, according to you and other people, I've heard this, is the most important of all time. Why is that?
Well, he was the one who basically put the mob commission together. There was something called the Castle Morazzi War, which was two factions in New York that were fighting each other. The secret behind it was that he was friends on both sides, and he actually helped to start the conflict so that he, really? Lucky Luciano, could turn around and settle it and then go in and organize the other families and with himself as the head of the commission.
So he started a war that he could end to make himself look like a big sweetie.
There you go.
Wow. Brilliant.
It's almost like that movie, Wag the Tail. Did you ever see that?
Yeah. Wag the Dog.
Wag the Dog.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah.
Great
yeah.
movie.
Yeah. Same idea where he went out and started the whole thing and then was able to really become the guy who everybody had to go to. And
Was he part of, like, you know, New York had five families. Probably not at that point. They didn't. They probably had to sort all that out. But where did... Was he under the Gambino family, or did he head up his own family?
He was kind of a freelancer. He went from group to group for a while because he was a very popular guy. He was also incredibly efficient and knew everybody, could get anywhere, could do anything, and was really working for himself at all times.
Hmm.
However, he probably had his strongest affiliation with the Jewish mafia because he and Meyer Lansky were good friends. They grew up together.
Right. So there were four initial guys. And I know they made a movie about this called Mobsters, I think, with like Christian Slater. And it was Lucky Luciano, Meyer Lansky, maybe Carlo Gambino or something. I can look that up. But
well, the originals were for the Maranzano family was Salvatore Maranzano. And in the Profaci family was Joe Profaci. And then in the Mangiano family was Vincent Mangiano. And then Lucky Luciano had his own family. And then Tommy Gagliano had his own family.
Wow. Okay. You had primarily New York mobsters on here, Paul Castellano, Carlo Gambino. I thought Carlo Gambino was one of the original. Did he come along later?
Later, yeah.
Okay.
He was one of the young men that was an up-and-comer at the time.
Okay.
I mean, because remember that the longevity of leadership in the mafia is not something necessarily you're going to put on your resume.
Right.
Because more often than not, they last about maybe 4 years if they're lucky.
Before
something happens to them, where the next person beneath them decides, yeah, it's my turn to be in charge.
Jeez, so. That's crazy. You have on your list Sofia Vergara
mm-hmm.
from Modern Family. Is she in the mafia?
There, that's her TV show called Griselda, and she is. This is the lady she is portraying. I got a picture. I don't know where your camera is up there, but what I'll do is I'll just
put it right up there.
This is the woman she is portraying. I will try to straighten that out. On the TV show. So she's a whole lot better looking than this. However,
Bob.
Well, I'm sorry. And she was actually somebody who in the 70s and 80s was the first ever billionaire in organized crime and in the mafia.
Wow.
She was making $80 million a month in smuggling of cocaine from Colombia to the U.S. She also helped to organize the Medellin cartel. She was nicknamed La Madrina, and the Black Widow, the cocaine godmother, and the queen of narco trafficking. And she carried out or had carried out on her behalf somewhere around 2,000 deaths, 2,000 assassinations. And when she was eventually shot dead at the age of 69 outside of a butcher shop on a motorcycle in Medellin.
Oh, my gosh. My guest is Bob Dennis. He is a mob expert and a podcaster. Tell us about your podcast.
Oh, actually, I have two of them. One of them is called Urban Legends and Stranger Truths. If you just type into your URL or Google or whatever, it'll pop up. And the other one, which is a little harder to find, is the one that we're talking about, and that is Mob and Mafia News.
Yeah.
And that one, I do more contemporary news of what's going on in the world today because the mafia is still incredibly deep throughout the world. In Europe specifically, the Drangheta, which is out of Italy, has 20,000 members. There was a big bust, I would say 2 years ago. And they thought it was such a tremendous success because they picked up like 2,000 people. And it was like, yeah, we'll replace them. And they turned around and, it is the dominant mafia in the world right now.
How is, I think we spoke about this the first time you came on. There's Bill Romer he was an FBI agent who wrote really good mob books about Tony Spilotro, Tony Accardo, and Giancana, I believe. Great books. And I thought, after this Family Secrets trial, maybe in Chicago in the 80s with Lombardo, I think his name was, that the mob had been basically broken into pieces, at least in the U.S. Is that true? Or is that just what they want you to believe? How active is the mafia in America right now?
It is still active. It's not like it was back in the 50s. It doesn't have that same kind of strength and power. Primarily through self-choice, and that is that they don't want high profile. They don't want people knowing about them, but they still control cocaine trade and fentanyl trade, and they work with other organizations, specifically with cartels, which are a different type of criminal organization. The cartels, which is from the word cartage, which means to transport, they transport the drugs and whatnot and bring that to the different mafia outlets, and then they are distributed from there throughout the United States and into Canada.
Yeah. Wow. That's fascinating. I didn't know, because I know for a long time the mob wanted to stay out of drugs. At least that's what you see in the movies.
Yeah, that was.
They didn't want to touch that.
That was never true. That was a great movie, but that was never true.
Huh.
Yeah.
They're just trying to make him look like somewhat of a moral character.
Well, and remember when Mario Puzo wrote The Godfather, he wrote it, he said, as a story about a family as opposed to being about the mafia. Well, if you read the book, it's about the mafia. But, it was that specific family. It was drugs were always a big deal in the mafia.
If they could make money at it, they would do it, right?
Absolutely, yeah. 100%.
Can we take a phone call for you?
Sure.
I think we got a caller with a question for Bob. Is this Cindy?
Yes, it is.
From Appleton. All right. Hey, Cindy.
Yep. Good. How are you?
Doing very well. How have you been?
Well, I've been good, except I lost my voice at the rally this weekend. So.
And you still found the time to call, further disrupting your vocal cords. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Anyway, there was a bar down in Appleton, down in what they call the Flats, back when I first moved here in the 70s, late 70s, middle 70s, somewhere in there. And it was called Jacqueline's, and apparently that place was affiliated with the mob.
Did we talk about that once, Bob?
I talked about that once with you, Pete, I think.
Okay. I knew that sounded familiar. And I thought I had a guest on, maybe a law enforcement officer who chased a guy. Remember that cop we had on, Conrad, the detective.
Yeah, he wrote his own book, right?
Yeah. And I think Cindy called in then, too. Does that sound familiar, Cindy?
Yep.
Yeah. Did you ever hang out there? Did you ever do any work for the mob?
Who, me?
Yeah.
I hung out there because the food there is just out of this world. Mm-hmm. And I really missed the place. I mean, it's been gone a long time, but it had great food. And it was kind of dark, People didn't know who you were when you walked in there because the lights weren't very bright. So I'm assuming that might have something to do with the fact that, they didn't want to know who was in there. So,
Cindy, listen, we will not blow your cover. Whether you're in the mob or not, your secret is safe with us.
Okay.
Thank you for the call. Take care of that voice. All right. That's Cindy from Appleton.
That's one thing, as you see, about people who were members of the mafia, who were actually the higher-ups. None of them were real skinny.
Okay. Right.
They always ate well.
Yeah.
And if you've ever been to any of the All right, mob-affiliated restaurants. Like when I lived back east, you couldn't go somewhere back east and not be a part of something going on that was
right.
that was affiliated with. I mean, everybody worked with somebody who was the cold person or the person that the mafia had that could never be connected with crimes, who, when there was a problem, they would call.
Yeah.
And they'd say, yeah, I need so-and-so. And then that person who was the cold person who knew everything that was going on but never committed any crime was kind of like the communications hub person.
Really interesting.
And that was almost everywhere you went, you'd find that.
You know, it's interesting you say that because I remember thinking when I was living in Chicago, like, well, the mayor deals with the mafia, or, you know, it was always like Jimmy Hoffa ran the union, but the mafia ran it. It's like you can't get away from it. There was a time in America, I feel like, where they were so powerful. Mm-hmm. You had to deal with them. They controlled a lot of stuff because they muscled their way into it. Mm-hmm. So to say a mayor has to deal with the mob, that doesn't mean he's in the mob. That just means he's kind of at their mercy in a lot of ways, as were unions. And I felt like that gave unions a bad rap, too.
Yes. And the thing is that the Construction Workers Union was one of them in New York and in Chicago and in all the major cities that had affiliations with the mafia and the mob because of their ability to be able to work within the unions for the financial portion of what they could do. Now, a lot of that got cleaned up during the 1950s and 60s.
Yeah.
But it still exists. And I'm not saying this is not a political thing, but when Donald Trump was in New York, he also had to deal with them when he was building buildings in New York City because they controlled the cement and the superstructures.
You can't get away from it. All right, we'll have more with Bob Dennis. We're talking mafia stuff. If you have a question for Bob, text or call. It'd be great to hear from you. And we'll keep this train going. We're going to talk some Al Capone, some San Giancana, some 1923. That's a good show, too, we'll talk about. This is Pete Schwab and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm waiting just for you.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Our question tonight, what is your favorite baseball movie? A lot of baseball activity this week. This is the release date or week of Major League, The Sandlot. And just a bit outside, Sean Hannish and Kelly Call's movie that played in Marcus Theaters. It was supposed to be a two-week run, and they ended up being in theaters for like 2 months. Very popular documentary. Sean will be here on Friday to talk about some streaming info for that. So a lot of baseball news this week in terms of movies. And that's our question of the week or of the night is what is your favorite baseball movie? Are you a baseball fan, Bob?
Well, I enjoy it. I played it from the time I was 5 years old until I was 40. But then.
Really?
Another movie, Eight Men Out.
Oh, it's yeah.
Not,
Eight Men Out.
It's not, you know, they're not playing baseball as much, but it is cool because it involves the mafia.
Yeah, right. Plays right into our theme tonight. We were just talking during the break about Al Capone. You said he was a whiz with numbers.
Yes.
So it seems like the smart guys rise to the top of organized crime. Mm-hmm. But it also seems like the guys that rise to the top are also kind of cold-blooded killers, like Tony Accardo mm-hmm. was supposedly one of Capone's drivers or bagmen or whatever. What is that true? Like, what makes a great mafia boss? Is it a combination of muscle and math and having that knowledge, or just that you're willing to kill your competition?
I think all of those things. You know, the thing is that they had to always keep track of everybody, keep their eyes on everybody at all times.
Yeah.
But they also had to keep an eye on the business. Now, they had people they trusted, but they also knew that they had to keep an eye on the people that they trusted. You know, I mean, so it was never having any real confidence in anybody, any real close relationships. Al Capone's only true close relationships were with his brothers. His brother Frank was actually the one who ran all of the brew processing. So he didn't have to worry about that. And they had facilities, believe it or not, throughout Wisconsin.
Right.
Where they were creating beer. And
is Frank the one that owned the bar up in Mercer?
Yes.
And he owned it long after his brother died, right?
Yes.
He lived up there.
And he continued to have the plant, which he changed over, believe it or not, to bottling soda.
Oh, wow.
It's like, well, okay, I'd make a buck somewhere.
You don't have to sneak around to bottle soda, though,
you have to
though,
worry
right?
about people shooting at you, then, I guess.
And Al Capone also had Johnny Torrio as a mentor.
Yes.
Who he probably felt confident being around because your mentor's not going to knock you off. The mentor's the one that like trained you to be the mob boss.
Well, and Johnny Torrio himself had was shot and right. He almost died. And he said, you know what? I'll tell you what I'm going to do, Al. I'm going to give you the business. You give me a percentage of what goes on. It's yours. And that continued until the time he died. And I think Torrio went back to Italy, actually.
You know, I think you and I have discussed this on this show before. There was a show about Capone, and I can't remember the actor who played Elliot Ness, but he's a guy that with Tom Amandus played Elliot Ness. And I think it was just called Capone or something. But the show reenacted a shootout between the Northside Irish gang in Chicago and Bugs Moran and D.N. O'Banion's gang, which Bugs Moran was a henchman for, I think. And I think that's when Torrio got shot and Bugs Moran walked up, had Capone dead to rights and pointed a gun at him and he was out of ammo.
Click. Click.
That would have changed history.
Everything. Yep.
Yeah. So.
Well, you know, in with Mafia, initially there were two major Mafia ethnics. They were the Irish, believe it or not, and Jewish. And they were the two big ones and they stayed away from each other. They gave each other, you know, plenty of room to be able to function. And if you go into New England, the only place left now is in the Boston area, primarily where you have the heavily Irish areas. But as the Italian immigrants continued to come into America and spread throughout the country, they went to cities where they were able to then set up. And the mafia, of course, followed them because of the ethnicity. And what happened is that the Jewish mafias did not have those large numbers of families to be able to expand, and specifically in the Chicago area. They kept moving a little further out, a little further out. And as they did, they dispersed themselves. And they used to call them the kosher Capones. And they basically kind of fell apart because they didn't have any cohesiveness. They didn't have enough people to be able to continue to run their mafias. And a large part of that was then absorbed by the Irish. And then the Irish, in turn, were taken over by the traditional mafia. And there are different divisions of mafia within, not mafia, but families within the mafia. There are the Sicilians, who are considered the true mafia.
Mafioso,
but then
yeah.
There are other city-affiliated mafias that are not quite as strong, the Camorra. But now it's something else. It's the 'Ndrangheta who are the big guys.
So you say the Irish and the Jewish mobsters ran everything. Was that before the Italians? Are we talking before Italians were even on the scene when it came to organized crime?
Well, they were here. Okay. And as immigration began to expand with Italian people coming in, the Irish and the Jewish mafias were already entrenched. In Detroit, there was something. There's also one that was in Philadelphia, but this is modern day times. It was called the Purple Gang. The Purple Gang in Philadelphia in that area is different than the Purple Gang that was the Jewish mafia in Detroit. And so they had these centers of power that they worked from. But like I said, as time passed, they didn't have as many members. They just started to dwindle. Whereas the Italian immigrants who came in had large families, had large relations, they brought more people in, and basically they overwhelmed them.
Wow. That's interesting. And I know that it, just based on the reading I've done, that the Irish and the Italians did have an agreement, at least in Chicago. Everybody was making money. But as I understand it, the O'Banion gang got greedy, and they went to war. They were the ones that decided to go to war with Capone's gang.
Yep.
And they lost that. And then history was written. But we'll get into more of this. We've got a couple mob movies I want to ask you about. I know Lefty Rosenthal was part of the Casino movie, played by Robert De Niro. That's a great film. And we'll have more on organized crime with Bob Dennis. He is in studio, folks. Civic Media's news team is about to tell you everything you need to know. That's coming up now. We'll be back in a few minutes with more mob talk and then Mike Mercury at 7:20. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community.
Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.